And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
All right, it's 11 minutes after 11 p.m. here on June 18th, 2016. This is program 87 of the WGN Radio Theater. I am your host, Carl Amari. My co-host is sitting right next to me, Lisa Wolf. Very, very vivacious and dimpled. How are you, Lisa?
Hi, Carl. When you said show 87, I don't know. I got a little tickle there. It's very exciting.
It's a lot of shows.
It's a lot of time we spent together.
It's two.
Too much time.
And in the booth, Shane Reardon, our producer. Hi, Shane. How are you, sir?
Guys, I'm good. How are you?
All right. Well, you know what? We have a terrific lineup for this evening. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning with your favorite classic radio shows. We have a salute to Humphrey Bogart. That's right. Humphrey Bogart, who was married to Lauren Bacall for a while, and we have him and her together on Bold Venture to start things off in just a few minutes. Then Humphrey Bogart stars in Suspense, and then on an audition record, he was going to have his own radio series called the Humphrey Bogart Theater, and they made an audition for it, and for some crazy, strange reason, it never sold. And wait till you hear it. It's fantastic. But there's only one episode of it, and we have it. We're going to play it on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop.
This actress stars in the TV series American Gods about a recently released ex-convict named Shadow who meets a mysterious man named Wednesday.
All right, if you can identify this celebrity, you're going to win what,
Lisa? A $25 gift card to my favorite pizza, Lou Malnati's.
All right, you will hear this celebrity in a clip in just a minute. The number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You'll hear her now in Young Frankenstein.
I am Paul Bruchel.
Call us if you know who that is. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
I am Paul Bruchel.
And we have Margaret on the line from Chicago. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Margaret.
It's good to hear from you, and we're hoping that you can identify that celebrity.
Oh, she's the best, Cloris Leachman.
Oh, I agree. You are right, Margaret, and you're a winner. You've won a $25 gift card. Yay, to Lou Malnati's, which is the pizza that I had for dinner tonight. I hope you love it. You can.
Oh, yes.
You can check them out at loumalnati's.com or visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. We hope you have a great pizza on us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
Margaret. All right, it's time for Humphrey Bogart, and we have a salute to Humphrey Bogart on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning with three classic radio shows starring Humphrey Bogart, including the first show we're going to play, Bold Venture. It was an adventure series with husband and wife Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. And Bogart played Salty Sea Dog Slate Shannon, who owned a Cuban hotel where treasure hunters, revolutionaries, and other shady characters rented rooms. His sidekick and ward was the sultry Sailor Duval, played by Bacall. And she tagged along as they encountered modern-day pirates and other tough situations while navigating the waters around Havana. Aboard the boat, the Bold Venture, Slate and Sailor experience adventure, intrigue, mystery, and romance. It was syndicated in 1951 and 1952 by Bogart's production company, Lisa, which was called Santana Productions. We have an episode of Bold Venture from October 21st, 1951. It's called the Kuan Yin Statue. Here's Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall in part one of Bold Venture.
adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of intrigue and mystery.
You can't tell much about Havana from a boat tied up at the waterfront, me long, especially at night. But you like Havana.
It is a strange place. But to one who has lived her life in China, all other places are strange.
It won't be that way for long. There's a little bit of all the other places in Havana.
Mr. Shannon.
All right, I'll get your suitcase, Milo.
Oh, no. Oh, no, that is not it, Mr. Shannon. It is the other thing. Why did Sam Chu have me brought here to Havana?
You mean you don't know?
I know only in Shanghai a letter came to me from Sam Chu. A letter with money. With instructions. Then a man came with more instructions and took me away from Shanghai. Why, Mr. Shannon?
If I'd known you were in Shanghai, I might have brought you here myself.
What manner of man are you, Mr. Shannon?
I run a hotel, I own a boat. I meet freighters somewhere in the Caribbean. Because I have a client named Sam Chu who's in a hurry to see a girl named Mi Long.
Hello! Anyone aboard?
Yeah.
Is your name Slate Shannon, sir?
That's right.
Good. Excellent. Come aboard, Mickey. We'll talk to Slate Shannon. How do you do, Mr. Shannon?
Say, what is this? What do you guys want on my boat?
Let me hold the gun, Mickey, so Mr. Shannon can see it better. Good. You did that very well, Mickey. And you, young lady, how do you do?
Mr. Shannon, who are these men?
The lady asked the question.
We're friends of yours, Mr. Shannon, and hers. The closest friends you have in the world. Don't you think so, Mickey? Mickey can't talk. He just agrees with me. Don't you, Mickey? You see, what did I tell you?
Now that I know who you are, off the boat.
You hear that, Mickey? He wants us to get off the boat. To pick up the thread of the conversation, Mr. Shannon, what we want is the statue. The Kuan Yin the lady brought with her from China.
You know what they're talking about, Mi Long?
I have brought nothing from China. A suitcase, that is all I brought from China.
Does that end our conversation, close friends of mine?
Mickey and I think the Kuan Yin is on this boat, Mr. Shannon. Don't we think that, Mickey?
Well, then ask Mickey where it is.
With my holding a gun on you, you say that?
Say, look now.
Go ahead, Mickey. Well done, Mickey. Easy, easy. There'll be other times, Mickey. Mr. Shannon will not disturb us for quite a while. So, young lady, where is the Kuan Yin?
I do not know what it is you want.
Search the boat, Mickey. Start with the suitcase. Now let us assume, dear young lady, that the Kuan Yin is not aboard. Where did Mr. Shannon stop this boat and hide it?
Do not touch me with your hand.
It offends you, my dear.
Yes. Yes.
You slapped Zender. You slapped Jeffrey Zender. That's most unfortunate. Most unfortunate. I detest killing. Now I'm afraid, dear young lady, your body will be washed up upon some shore and someone will wonder why. Yes, Lady Sailor?
What's that you're playing?
Waiting type song. Waiting for Mr. Shannon type song. You are mad? King Moses will have melody written in stone, so it never dies.
Thanks. How long have you known Slate?
Longer than you. Longer than anybody. Anywhere.
How long?
Since many years.
In Port-au-Prince, I see man walking on waterfront. A man. I sing song. He asks my name. I ask his. We attach ourselves each to the other.
And it's been good?
With Mr. Slate Shannon, it's the better than anything.
That's how it is, King Moses. What's that kind of music for? Chinese girl Slate's bringing back?
No, Lady Sailor. We are about to be honored with the celestial presence of Mr. Sam Chu.
He looks like he's just stepped out of a Chinese finger painting. Looking for me, Sam?
Oh, Princess, your exquisite face brings tears of delight to the unworthy eyes of Sam Chu.
Hi, Sam.
I bow to the fragrance of your beauty, Miss Gail Duval. Your presence lends enchantment to Shannon's place. Where is Mr. Shannon?
He hasn't come back yet.
Mr. Shannon told me he would have my cargo here at precisely this hour. In a matter of this nature, Mr. Shannon has been a man of the precise second.
Oh, don't worry about it, Sam. But what is the nature of this matter? Slate never told me.
It is a matter of bringing a girl from Shanghai.
Well, this I already know. But does your wife know?
Unfortunately, I am not blessed with a wife. However, of the girl from Shanghai, she brings with her the fabulous Kuan Yin.
Kuan Yin?
A statue. An idol.
That's more important than a girl from Shanghai?
Far more. Kuan Yin is a goddess. Priceless. Wondrous. I have made a girl suffer the ravages of a journey from China. The terrors of clandestine flight to bring Kuan Yin to me. When Mr. Shannon returns, have him bring the Kuan Yin and the girl to me immediately to the house of Sam Chu. Thus, I end the delight of your presence.
Likewise, I'm sure. Bye, Sam. King Moses.
Yes, Lady Sailor.
That Waiting for Mr. Slate Shannon song. Play it some more.
All right, Lady Sailor.
That doesn't do it.
You go to doctor wait for boat to see what that does, Lady Sailor.
To see what that does, King Moses. Lie still, Slate. Won't hurt so much if you lie still, with your head in my lap.
He was good, wasn't he? He went over me real good.
Who?
Man who was owned by another man who owned a gun.
I told you it would hurt if you tried to move. If you want anything, I'll get it for you. All you have to do is touch my hand.
You know about pain, huh, Sailor?
Not like yours. Other kinds I know about.
Like what?
If I ever tell you, throw me away. What happened to you, Slate? Why did somebody try to make you over?
They thought we had something called the Kuan Yin. Me and the girl. Hey, where is she?
There's no one else on the boat.
Sailor, wherever they've got her, they'll...
Oh, don't think about it. They've bruised your mouth.
Give me a day and I'll have it like new.
There's another remedy, Slate.
Wasn't bad. Remind me to get some.
I'll remind you.
Help me up.
You must be out of your mind. When am I going to get another chance like this?
Help me up. Thanks.
You're welcome. Goodbye, Slate. Ask for me at Shannon's place. Maybe I'll be there.
Come back here. You're crazy like your father.
My father was crazy to will me to you when he died. What else could he have done with me?
He could have turned you over to decent people, to safe people. People who don't get beaten up, who go on Sunday picnics, walk in a park.
You're stuck with me, Slate. You hate it? You didn't answer me. Do you hate it?
I'll think about it.
Come on. Put your arm around my shoulder and I'll take you back to the hotel.
We call on Sam Chu.
But Slate, you're hurt. You can't go.
We call on Sam Chu. Tell him I messed up his mission. To ask him why I did.
Anything you want, Slate.
To ask him why he hired me to pick up Mei Long. Why she disappeared. Why a man beat me up for a statue I didn't have.
I can steer a fine course to the house of Sam Chu. Just keep the arm around my shoulder. You have come about Sam Chu?
That's right.
Both of you? The two of us. That is strange.
Where is Sam?
Please come in. Your face, it has been hurt. His face has been hurt, but he still wants to see Sam Chu. You may call me Tamar.
Blake Shannon, this is Sailor...
Miss Duval. You are strangers to the house of Chu?
I've never been here before. I know Sam pretty well. He never mentioned...
Me? There is no reason why he should. I am in his employ because of my knowledge of antiques. What about your knowledge of a girl named Milong? Milong? A Chinese girl?
Girl I picked up from a freighter and brought to Havana. A girl who's disappeared.
On the radio, as I was driving here to Sam Chu's, I heard of a Chinese girl.
Well, what about her?
Only that she was found in Havana Harbor, freshly dead from a bullet wound. Could this be your Milong? I got a feeling this could be our Milong, Slate.
Yeah. Take us to Sam Chu.
You must understand, when I returned here a half hour ago, I disturbed my employer not at all. This is a lady with a message, Slate. Do you get the message?
No, I don't.
Then you are not of the police? I called them.
Police?
Please. In this room. There. There on the floor.
Sam.
I know what. You're going to tell us he's dead, aren't you, Tamar? Precisely. If you can bear to look, there is a silk cord about his throat. Isn't that unfortunate, Miss Duval?
WGN Radio Theater is on the air. Remember they used to say that on Bozo Circus?
Bozo Circus is on the air.
That was Ned Locke.
I remember.
Remember Ringmaster Ned?
I sure do.
I remember Bob Bell as Bozo.
I always wanted to be on that
show. You're kind
show.
Of a Bozo.
I know. I can't argue with that.
Yes. So we are here, Lisa and I and Shane, we're here on Saturday nights till 2 o'clock in the morning with Classic Radio. We're also here on Sunday nights with Classic Radio, all your favorite shows. In fact, tomorrow night, which is Father's Day, we are
Happy
going
Father's
to...
Father's
yeah,
Day.
Yeah, that's right.
You.
Thank you very much.
And not to you, Shane.
Thank you. But to all of our listeners, all our male listeners who have children, Happy Father's Day. All right, so tomorrow we have a salute to Ronald Reagan. Did you know that, Lisa?
I sure did,
Carl. We have three radio shows with Ronald Reagan in it. I think you're going to like that. Right now we're tuning in to a salute to Humphrey Bogart. We're listening to Bold Venture. Here's part two now, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall in the Kuan Yin statue, part two of Bold Venture.
Now, back to Bold Venture. Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
Sight, huh, sailor?
I've never seen a Chinese funeral before. Sam Chu and Mi Long.
Sam Chu and Mi Long. It was one of the toughest things I ever had to do, sailor, identifying Mi Long.
She was that lovely?
That lovely. Light some more firecrackers, sailor. Firecrackers to keep away whatever spirit she wants kept away. Money thrown in her coffin to pay her way into whatever paradise she wants.
A paradise that's watched over by Kuan Yin?
Yeah. What's there about a Chinese goddess? What's there about a statue that makes people dead? Sailor. Sailor.
Look at her.
Yeah. Tamar. Tamar in a mandarin robe like...
Go ahead, say it, Stace. I'll agree with you.
Like an enchanted princess. I'll see you, sailor.
Where are you going?
to join the funeral. Get a princess to tell me a story.
Slate! Hey, wait for me, Slate!
A fascinating and pathetic spectacle, don't you think?
What? Oh, that's right. Fascinating and pathetic. Who are you?
If you don't mind, I am Jeffrey Zender.
I don't mind. That's your problem.
And you are Miss Duval.
And I am Miss Duval. How did you know?
Merely because the late Sam Chu pointed you out to me one day at Shannon's place, and I have never forgotten.
Oh? You knew Sam Chu?
Quite intimately. He was my business associate. Would you care to join me in my own private manner of expressing grief over Sam's death?
All right. Yes, I would.
Sam's shop is just a few doors down.
I'd like to see how you grieve when a friend dies, Mr. Zender.
I noticed it was difficult for Mr. Shannon to tear his eyes away from the lovely and exotic Tamar.
Do you know her?
Only slightly. Here we are.
This place looks as if Sam collected all the loot in China.
Spurious loot. It's all fake. Will you sit down?
Thanks. Now grieve, Mr. Zender. I want to watch.
These statuettes you see on the shelves, all plaster. Mass-produced for the tourist trade. In all this rubbish, nothing so delicate or so desirable as a Kuan Yin.
Tell me more about this Kuan Yin, Mr. Zender.
About it? About it is that it's worth perhaps $250,000.
Oh, and there's nothing so delicate and desirable as $250,000, is there?
Quite. What is your theory as to where the Kuan Yin is?
Why should I have a theory?
I'll tell you why. A Chinese girl sails half around the world with a fabulous idol. Mr. Shannon is to deliver her to Sam Chu. She's killed. But suddenly she doesn't have the idol. Why doesn't she have it?
How do you know all this?
For a reason. I killed the girl from China.
I see.
Of course you do not see. Else you would tell me where the Kuan Yin is. Where is it?
I don't know.
Will you tell me, Miss Duval?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
As you wish it. Mickey! Mickey, come in here. Ask her where the Kuan Yin is, Mickey. Be gentle, but firm.
I knew you would come back to me, Slate Shannon.
And we both knew it, didn't we, Tamar?
I saw you when you were watching the funeral procession. It was a very long funeral, and all the time your eyes were on me, as they are now. You find me desirable?
An understatement, Tamar. Guy wants a lot of things. Some of the best, a mark don't touch.
I am not fragile, Slate. I will not break. You may touch me.
Anything you say.
You see, I am not an illusion. Here, I will show you.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
It is said the goddess Kuan Yin could kiss a wound and make it vanish. The image of her is believed to be just as miraculous by some. It is a pity she has been lost, is it not?
Yeah. Maybe if Kuan Yin weren't so miraculous, the girl I picked up at sea, Mi Long, would still be alive. And Sam, too. This Kuan Yin, does it kiss away dying tomorrow?
If you gave her to me, gave me the Kuan Yin.
Yeah, well, what makes you think I've got it?
Because a man like you, it would have been simple to steal from Mi Long.
Yeah, it would have been, but I didn't think of it. Also, she didn't have it. Now it's your turn again.
I don't believe you. I don't believe...
Besides the miracles, how much will the Kuan Yin bring in Yankee dollars tomorrow?
The Kuan Yin image is a symbol of the tears of Mother China. Your having her is a desecration.
Oh, where did all the gentle go tomorrow? Look, if I had the Kuan Yin, maybe I'd give it to you. That would make us pals again, wouldn't it? You and me and Mother China.
Get out. Get out of this house. Your presence is insulting to the memory of the dead.
Yeah, we almost forgot about that, didn't we, Tamar?
Get out!
All right. Some other time, huh?
Mr.
Shannon, he take him his boat on ride. Two fellas on deck, in shadows they hide. The beefsteak or lotion can start to erase the bruises they bumped on Mr. Shannon's face. Mr. Shannon, he
what
was...
What time is it, King?
Miss Sale is not back for 5 hours already.
I didn't ask you that.
No, you didn't ask me that.
Where could she be for 5 hours?
In Havana. In 5 hours in this Havana, you get born again and live again.
Well, she's never been away from me this long, as long as she's been here.
Lucky fellow, you, Mr. Slade. So beautiful is Miss Sailor. She... Look, Mr. Slade.
Yeah, I see him. You want something, Chico?
Por favor, yo quiero, Señor Shannon.
My name's Shannon.
Bueno. Un hombre, a man, he said to come here to this place and find Señor Shannon.
All right, all right. What man? What did he want?
No, sabe what man. He say, go to here, this place, and tell Señor Shannon like this. Quan Yin.
Quan Yin?
Si, Quan Yin. He say also, bring it. He say, bring it to shop of Sam Chu. He say, Señorita Duval.
Now, what did he say about the Señorita?
The Señorita will be there, that is all.
What man told you all this, Chico?
I do not know.
What man? What man told you this?
I do not know. I do not know. I swear it by my mother. I do not, Señor. Un hombre on the street, he tell me to...
Okay. Okay. You did all right, Chico. Open up! Open up!
Mr. Shannon.
Where is she? Where's Miss Duval?
Come in. Come in. You're very prompt, Mr. Shannon.
I asked you something. I asked you, where is she?
Ask politely, Mr. Shannon. This gun at your stomach says, ask politely. Come. Miss Duval is in the back room. Through this litter of Sam Chu's vulgar tourist art. Through beaded curtains. Also vulgar. Miss Duval. Mr. Shannon.
You all right?
Just untie me, Slate. These ropes keep doing things to my wrists.
Oh, they're bleeding. They're...
No comments. Just untie me.
Sure.
Not quite so fast, Mr. Shannon. Not quite. You forget two things. One, this ugly little beast in my hand. Two, the exquisite Quan Yin.
Oh. We barter, huh? I give you the Quan Yin, you give me Miss Duval.
Precisely.
The man strikes a hard bargain, Slate.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. He's got a hammer named Mickey.
Mickey will trouble no one anymore.
Oh, he'll be washed up on the beach like me long.
Exactly. As flotsam. Or is it jetsam?
Jetsam.
I never can remember the difference. And now, Mr. Shannon, now that we've touched gloves, the Quan Yin, please.
No, you just don't understand how it's going to be. First, I release Miss Duval. Then I take her home. Then you get the Quan Yin.
You didn't bring it with you?
I left it at the hotel.
Why, I'll...
No, you won't. You kill Slate, no Quan Yin. You hurt a hair on my head, no Quan Yin. Isn't that how it is, Slate? If he hurts a hair on my head?
Maybe you need time to think it out, huh, Zender?
Tamara and I have waited this long. We will wait an hour longer.
Oh, you and Tamar. Who wound the silk around Sam Chu's throat, Zender? You, Tamar? I only asked because it was so professional.
Thank you. I did. It was necessary. So I did.
Sure. Sure. Just as a matter of curiosity, how much is the Quan Yin worth?
$250,000.
Hey, you come expensive, sailor. Real expensive. Almost as expensive as this.
Fool! Take your hands off me. I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Try me.
Now you can untie me, Slate.
Yeah.
You did good.
Yeah. Now let's go, sailor.
Wait a minute. Look, over there in the corner, that shining statue, like something lighted inside.
Hey, what do you know? It's the Kuan Yin.
Kuan Yin. It's beautiful.
Now, leave it alone, sailor. It's beautiful. And it killed Sam Chu. Leave it alone.
Must have been here all the time.
The oldest trick in the world. Sam has something valuable, so he covered it with something cheap, plaster, like all these other phony plaster statues. If it hadn't fallen off the shelf during the fight, it would have been lost forever.
And the whole business, the girl from China, all of it, a little Chinese play staged by Sam Chu to trick whoever else wanted the Kuan Yin.
I'll leave it there, sailor. Let's go.
To Tamar?
To Shannon's place. The cops can have Tamar and the Kuan Yin.
You sure you don't want to go see Tamar?
To Shannon's place. You coming, sailor?
The wheel, Slate.
All right.
I like this. Night, moon, trade winds, boat.
You ought to like it. This boat cost me a lot of money.
I paid half, remember?
Yeah, that's what I said. You paid half. Take the wheel, sailor.
What's the matter with you?
I'm in pain. My mouth hurts. Take the wheel.
All right. It's bad, huh?
Awful.
Take the wheel.
All right.
Slate.
Yeah, sailor? Hey, who's got the wheel?
Be still, Slate. What can we run into in the middle of the Gulf Stream?
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest bold venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
There you have it. Bold Venture, going back to October 21st, 1951, the Kuan Yin statue starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. It was a show that his company, his and her company, Santana Productions, produced for Ziv Syndication. Frederick W. Ziv was a big syndicator of radio shows, including Boston Blackie and Dangerous Assignment, some others. And this was a show he syndicated in 1951 and 52. Hope you enjoyed Bold Venture. And we have two more Humphrey Bogart starring vehicles this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. When we come back from the news, we will tune in to Suspense, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Humphrey Bogart stars in Love's Lovely Counterfeit. And then in our third hour, an audition program to the Humphrey Bogart Theater. I know you are going to really like that. Let's take a break. Here's a few messages, and then Lisa and I will be right back. All right, welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater, Hour 2. We're here for 3 hours, so we'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. And happy Sunday morning to you, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I'm a dad 3 times over, Lisa.
I've heard about that.
You know, and it's tough. I mean, you know what? Being a dad is a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Sure,
it can be very tough.
I'm sure.
You're a mom of four.
It's a lot of
It's a lot of loving. It's a lot of, you know,
ups and downs.
Ton of work. So congrats to all the dads out there, and you know, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day. Hope you get to celebrate tomorrow.
Absolutely. And Humphrey Bogart is the man of the hour. We'll be celebrating his career on radio for the next couple of hours. In just a few minutes, we'll tune into Humphrey Bogart starring in Suspense. And then in our third hour, an audition record There was a show that they proposed to do called the Humphrey Bogart Theater, where he was going to be the host, and there was these dramas, mysteries primarily, and they cut an audition record called Dead Man. It's terrific. Wait till you hear this show, Lisa. It's really great. And it was put out there for to find a sponsor.
Nobody bought it.
Humphrey Bogart radio show back in 1949. Nobody picked it up.
You lost your calling there.
What?
I
could have picked it up in 1949.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. I could have been working with Bogam Shelf,
right?
All right. Well, you'll hear that episode of the Humphrey Bogart Theater audition program in our third hour. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the TV series Lewis and Clark, the story of the explorers as they traverse uncharted territory on a mission to the Pacific.
All right. What do they win?
They win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Home of Chicago's Best Deep Dish Pizza.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This is Ben's brother. He played Ray Siebert in 2016's The Finest Hours.
That boat is too small for these seas. And this ship will be sunk by nightfall.
All right, who is that actor? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Get on the air with us, identify that celebrity, and win a pizza. We'll be right back.
We are back at the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip again.
That boat is too small for these seas. And this ship will be sunk by nightfall.
And we've got Farrah on the line from Chicago. Hi, Farrah. Hi there.
Hi.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
So do you recognize that voice?
Yes, Casey Affleck.
You are right, Farrah, and you are a winner. You know what you've won?
Yes.
$25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Home of Chicago's Best. We hope you have a great pizza on us, and you can visit their menu online at loumalnati's.com or check out one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, and we hope you have a great dinner.
Thank you so much, and happy Father's Day to everybody there.
Yay, Carl.
Thanks, Farrah.
Thank you.
When I saw the name Farrah up there, it brought back memories.
I know, we were just talking about that.
Poster of Farrah Fawcett that I had hanging
with
in my...
With the red swimsuit,
yeah,
right?
My brother had that. I had her poster hanging up in my bedroom.
Well, I didn't have her in my bedroom, but she was in the house.
Good old Farrah Fawcett. She was something.
Beautiful.
Yeah, really, really something.
Yeah, sad story.
Yeah, that was quite a poster. I think that poster outsold every other poster in the history of posters.
I was just about to say that. That is the one.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
There's kind of two reasons why that I can think of. Yeah. Anyway. So this is the WGN Radio Theater. And we're going to tune into Humphrey Bogart now on Suspense. Sound good to you?
Yes, that's a great idea.
All right. So Humphrey Bogart appeared before the CBS Suspense microphones in 1945. I think this is the only Suspense episode he ever did. Maybe he did one other one, but we don't have it. So we have a March 8th, 1945 episode. It's called Love's Lovely Counterfeit. It was sponsored by Roma Wines. In the cast, a terrific cast, Lorene Tuttle, Elliot Lewis, Wally Mayer, John McIntyre, Joseph Kearns is in this. This was written by Bogart's favorite author, James M. Cain. And in fact, he also writes the next show we're going to hear in a little while, the Humphrey Bogart Theater broadcast. So let's tune this in part one now of a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Now, Roma Wines present Suspense. Tonight, Roma Wines present Humphrey Bogart in Love's Lovely Counterfeit. Suspense is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live, to your happiness and entertaining guests, to your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now a glass full would be very pleasant as Roma Wines bring you Suspense.
This is the man in black here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, who tonight from Hollywood bring you as star Mr. Humphrey Bogart, who is currently being seen in the Warner Brothers production To Have and Have Not. Mr. Bogart appears with us tonight in a characteristic tale by James M. Cain, the author of Double Indemnity and other noted contributions to the literature of dangerous adventure and troubled romance. And so, with Love's Lovely Counterfeit and with the performance of Humphrey Bogart, Roma Wines again hope to keep you in suspense.
Lefty, open up.
Oh, it's you, Ben. Come on in, Ben.
Sal here yet?
No, not yet, but he ought to be pretty soon, huh?
What's he got on his mind?
I wouldn't know, Ben.
Okay. Hey, what's that coming down the street?
Oh, that must be those poor suckers of Citizens League. They're having a political parade. Yeah, there they are. You can see them through the window.
That must be Jansen, huh? The guy they're running for mayor.
That's right.
Who's the doll riding with him?
What's the matter? Don't you read the papers?
Sure. Yeah, I read Little Abner. Who's that, Davy May?
Her name is June Lyons. She's his new secretary or something, but everybody says she's the brains of his campaign.
Yeah? I could use a little brains like that myself.
Not that kind you couldn't. Not that missionary kind.
What about this Jansen?
I keep forgetting that you're new around here. Jansen doesn't have a chance.
Well, he's putting out a lot of publicity. He must have some dough behind him.
Yeah, but you can't elect a reform ticket in a town like this, Ben. Saul's machine is too strong. Not unless you got some dirt. Some real dirty dirt that smells so bad people can't ignore it. And who's going to get anything on Saul with half of the police force on his payroll?
Saul isn't even worried, huh?
Ah, why should he be? Saul puts up the dough, Maddox wins again, and Saul keeps on running the town. Oh, that must be Saul now.
Hi, Lefty. Hiya, Benny.
Hiya.
See your draft board today?
Yeah, I saw him.
What'd they say?
Same thing. I still got that hernia from football.
That football hernia comes in pretty handy, don't it?
What's that crack supposed to mean?
What's the matter, Benny? Can't you take a joke?
Sure. I can take a joke.
What you got on this afternoon, Benny?
I guess you forgot. This is my day off.
I said, what you got on this afternoon?
Nothing that I can remember now. Why?
Little job.
What kind of a job?
I got a tip. Some friends of mine may be in a little trouble. Something about a bank.
Why don't you stick to the bookies and the gambling, Sal? You'd be safer.
Listen, Benny. Anytime you think you're big enough to run this business, just let me know. I'll be glad to work something out for you.
What's the job?
These kids are going to crack the Castleton First National just after closing time. They got a room here in this hotel, room 480. They'll be back here about 3:30. You see, I own this hotel, and I want you to go up and collect the room rent. I'm giving them good protection, so I figure it'll come to about 20 grand.
Yeah? We'll figure on getting somebody else to collect it.
Huh?
I said get somebody else. I don't like guns, and I don't like gunsels, and you know it.
Listen, you punk. You think you're a big guy, don't you? A big guy with muscles, and I'm just a little guy. That's what you think, isn't it? But if you try to cross me, I'll have you crawling to me on your knees. When I get through with you, you'll beg me to use a gun on you because you're yellow, aren't you? Aren't you?
What's the room number?
480.
Come on, Lefty.
Okay. Lousy.
Skip it.
You're gonna do it, though, aren't you?
Sure. I'll see you up there, 3:15. Oh, by the way, what'd you say that dame's name was?
What dame?
That dame was Jansen, that brains of the opposition.
You mean June Lyons?
Yeah, that's it.
Now, wait a minute, Ben. You know that's poison if Saul ever thought that...
You know, Lefty, Miss Lyons interests me in more ways than one. Rolling.
Hi.
Are you...
That's right. Get rolling. So you're June Lyons, the brains of the opposition.
What's this hot tip you told me about over the phone? I don't have much time.
What's the matter? You worried?
Not particularly.
Well, you don't have to be. I'm not interested in you.
Why do you want to see Jansen elected?
Suppose you let me ask the questions.
All right.
I'll ask you the same one. Why are you working for Jansen?
Oh, I'm just one of those crazy idealists, I guess.
Just a missionary, huh?
Well, Jansen may not be the best man in the world, but at least he isn't hooked up with a racketeer like Saul Casper, the way Maddox is.
June.
Oh, it's June now. What's your name?
Maybe I'll tell you that later, and maybe I won't. Listen, June. If you were one of those earnest kids who stand around on street corners handing out leaflets, I might believe you wanted to reform the world, but you're not. I know that you know that electing Jansen isn't going to reform the world or even reform Lake City. It just doesn't make that much difference.
Well, it does to me. But there's something else, too.
Like what?
If Jansen wins, of course, I'll get a city job out of it. A good one.
That's more like it.
But I want to explain why.
You don't have to explain anything.
But I want to. I'm a lawyer. At least I have a degree from law school. And I want to be a good lawyer. If you start out on your own, it can take years. But with the right job at City Hall, you can build up a practice in no time.
Okay. As long as it's the dough you're thinking about, we can do business.
Oh, it isn't just me.
I know. Now listen. I know. You're a missionary. Now listen, if I give you some dirt on Sal Casper, that'll send him up for 10 years or so, Jansen wins, right?
Well, you can prove it.
You're going to prove it. Three punks from Chicago are sticking up the Castleton First National Bank at about 3 this afternoon. Sal Casper's hiding them out at his hotel, room 480. If there's any shooting at the bank and anybody gets killed, it'll be that much better. You'll have them for accessory to murder. You have your people there at 4 o'clock. I'll take care of the rest.
Well, if we come out with this and it can't be proved, it's criminal libel. And that's all Jansen needs to really lose.
So, what do you think?
I think you're working for Maddox and Casper.
Well, that could be. But at least I know my law.
What law?
The Castleton Bank is insured by the government. That makes the stick-up a federal rap. If you want the number of the FBI, I'll give it to you.
Oh.
And for your information, my name is Ben Grace, and I work for Sal Casper. So, I'm not a guy who's in a very good position to go around giving phony tips to the FBI. You can pull right up here.
Why are you doing this?
Because I just decided Sal Casper is mean, and he's greedy. Is that enough?
You say so. Room 480 at 4 o'clock. Ben.
Yeah?
Will I see you afterwards?
Now, don't worry, baby. You'll see me. So this is room 480. Looks just like room 481. Hiya, Lefty.
Sit down, Ben. You didn't take it too hard, what Solly said, did you?
No, I can't say I liked it. What time is it?
Oh, a couple of minutes to 4. Now, it's too bad about you, Ben.
What's too bad?
That you don't like trouble. You could go a long way in this racket, Ben, because you got brains. Now, me, I don't have the brains.
I wouldn't.
Did I ever tell you how I started, Ben?
No.
I was a preacher.
A what?
Yep, a preacher. So help me. By rights, I still am. Look here, I got the license right here in my wallet. It was one of those hillbilly outfits, and the bishop, as he called himself, was so far away from me that he never ever heard about me, I guess. Anyway, he never canceled the license.
The Reverend Richard Jose Gauss. Yeah, that's one for the books, Lefty.
Yeah, I was just a kid. But I got hooked up with one of those big-time evangelists, and if I'd stuck to it, I could have hit the big time myself. But you know what I did? The first time we made a really big take, I tied a handkerchief over my face, got me a rod, and stick up the cash box. And they caught me. That's how I know I haven't got brains.
I wouldn't let it worry you, Lefty.
That's not what's worrying me now, Ben.
What is?
What's going to be happening in here in a couple of minutes? You ever sat in on a divvy before, Ben?
No. I wouldn't be now, except for the manpower shortage.
These are three wild kids, Ben. Chances are they'll be coked to the ears and slobbering at the mouth with being half scared to death and half crazy with excitement, thinking how much dough they got and what big-shot public enemies they are. And we, yeah, you and me, we got to walk up and take 20 grand away from them.
Hmm. All right, here they are. So now we're going to find out how it's done.
All right, on that sound effect right there, Mike likes to break on sound effects. You know that, Lisa?
What, Carl? Did you say something?
Yeah, I said Mike Costello likes to break on sound effects.
That's his trademark.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why.
You must have told him to do that.
No,
I'm
not sure.
If he does something wrong, I'm sure
there's musical interludes in here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could break on a musical interlude.
Right.
But
you have to have a talk with him.
I don't know. He likes sound effect breaks. I'm not sure why. Anyway, that's the first portion of Suspense with Love's Lovely Counterfeit, going back to March 8th, 1945. Humphrey Bogart starring on Suspense. That's sponsored by Roma Wines, as heard on CBS. You know what, Lisa?
Why, you still have a chocolate in your mouth.
I was eating
you?
A piece of chocolate.
I've noticed that.
Tell the world. Tell the world.
I was
eating chocolate, and then the show ended. I'm listening for a musical break, and there's no break. It was right on sound effects, and I had a half a piece of chocolate in my mouth.
Did it stop on a sound effect or a musical interlude?
On a sound effect.
I wasn't sure.
So did you know that tomorrow, or actually when we come back here tonight, at 10 o'clock. They work us like...
Wait, we're at 11, but it's okay. But we're on at 11.
But we get here at 10.
Yeah, but we're on at 11.
Wait a minute. I don't have any sound effects of whipping.
But if you did, just do the real thing. Just, you know.
Yeah. I'm doing it. I'm doing a sound effect with my mouth.
Okay, go ahead.
That sounds pretty good, right?
That's pretty good.
All right, so when we come back here at 10 o'clock...
You do that often?
But then when we go on at 11 o'clock...
Right.
We are going to have a salute to Ronald Reagan, one of my favorite presidents of all time. Right?
Right.
Was he one of yours?
He was.
All right, so Ronald Reagan, we have him in three radio shows. I believe we hear him on a Burns and Allen show, a Suspense episode, and Charlie McCarthy. And I know you like ventriloquism.
I love it.
So there you go. What do you think of that, Roger? We have Ronald Reagan tonight when we come back here.
The important thing is, why didn't you save me some chocolate?
There is some chocolate.
Oh, I did save it then. For you. You got to come down
you.
And get it.
We've got chocolate.
I'll be down
for
there.
You.
Yeah.
we've got to bribe you to come down here. You wouldn't just want to come just to see us now, would you?
I will come down to see you.
All right, we'll save you some chocolate.
I love you guys so much.
As long as you have chocolate.
Save you some chocolate. Okay. So here's the deal. When we come back from the news, it's the conclusion to Love's Lovely Counterfeit on Suspense. Then, in our next hour, it's the Humphrey Bogart Theater. You are going to love that. All right. Got some rocking music here. That's nice, kind of bubbly music.
Bubbly.
It's bubbly.
Shane knows what he's doing in there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Right, Shane? You know what you're doing in there, buddy.
Yeah, I'd say you're correct.
He hits all the right buttons at all the right times.
One time I did hit the wrong button, though.
One time in 1984, he hit the wrong button.
When I was -8.
-8. Oh, wow. Yeah.
That was like last year, I think.
Jeez. You know, we were at Lisa Wolf's house this past week. The whole Mies Meals crew. We were over there shooting some video. We were shooting some video for some social media for Mies Meals.
We were cooking up a storm.
And I tell you what, that's quite the shindig digs you got there.
Yeah?
You got some digs over
there. Well, I'm going to cook some Mies Meals. I may as well have a nice kitchen to cook them
in,
right?
Man, you got a nice kitchen. And I fell asleep a couple of times.
Yes, you did, but that's what you do normally.
You know, when you're doing a video shoot, there's a lot of downtime, you know?
Well, I mean, for you, maybe.
There's a lot.
You were there like an hour, and it was... About 5-hour shoot.
It was a lot of fun, and Scott Zuckerman was there, the CEO of Mies Meals, and we were shooting some social media stuff, and we'll have that for you. But Mies Meals is a sponsor of ours, and I tell you what, folks, if you've not tried this free offer, and I mean free with a capital F-R-E-E, there is no strings attached. You can get dinner for two delivered to your home absolutely free because Mies Meals wants you to try how great their product is. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, I do that every Monday. I have it delivered to my house. It will be here Monday morning. It comes in a nice cooler with some ice packs delivered right to my door. I go online a few days before that and choose the menu items that I like. And somehow magically they appear at my door, and it's terrific because
yeah,
I don't have to think about what's for dinner.
I absolutely love Mi's Meals. But, folks, here's what you have to do. You have to try Mi's Meals. It's absolutely free. Just go to their website, which is Mi's, M-E-E-Z, meals.com, Mi's Meals.com. Pick out dinner for two, deliver to your home, but make sure you put the promo code radio in there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because if you don't put the promo code radio,
it's not free.
Yeah, you got to put the promo code radio.
And free is free.
But you got to check out Mi's Meals because you're going to get some unbelievable food from them.
And
absolutely
we hope that
free.
You'll let us know what you try and what you think of it because we do like to hear from you and know what your thoughts are.
All righty. Check them out. Mi's, M-E-E-Z, meals.com. Mi's Meals.com. All right, let's tune in to the conclusion now of Humphrey Bogart in Love's Lovely Counterfeit on Suspense.
This is it. Get him in here.
Johnny, don't leave me. Will you, Johnny?
Get him over there on the chair. Who are you?
I'm the man who collects the room rent.
Yeah, well, stick him up. Frisk him, Marty.
Go ahead. I don't need a rod to handle punks like you.
This guy's clean, Johnny. What about the other one?
He's with me, and he's got a gun, and don't try to take it away from him because it's an old family heirloom, and he's fond of it.
Oh, yeah?
Now stop acting like something you've seen in a movie and put that cannon away. Might drop it and break somebody's foot.
Johnny.
What's the matter with your pal there?
He got shot.
Anybody else?
No. The guard shot him when we were pulling out.
Oh, Johnny.
You better get him over there on that
Johnny,
bed.
We're going too fast, Johnny.
Yeah?
We're going too fast.
He's out of his head.
Yeah. You get the dough?
Did we get the dough? Look at this wise guy. $40,000, maybe more.
You know how much this room is costing you?
How much?
$20,000.
$20,000.
That's right. I'll be back after a while to collect it. What are you going to do with your pal there with the hold?
I don't know.
Johnny.
You know that's bad, don't you?
Why?
Kid's out of his head already. Suppose he makes trouble, starts screaming or something.
You got doctors, haven't you?
Sure, but that kind of a doctor, that's one more guy that have to get a cut. Pretty soon you guys won't have anything left but small change.
That's what you think.
But, of course, maybe the kid will die.
Yeah? Then what do we do? That's even worse.
Oh, no. No, that'll be easy. We'll be seeing you.
I hope you know what you're doing, Ben.
I think so. Come on, I got the room next door.
You know you're just as good as signing that kid's death warrant, don't you?
That's right.
The other two will knock him off now before we got time to do it.
Johnny.
Now listen, I got the transom open, Johnny, connecting your door.
Johnny, what you gonna do? Johnny, no! No!
They did it.
Yeah. Maybe we better call Sal, huh?
I hope you know what you're doing.
Give me Mr. Casper. Ben Gray speaking.
Yes, sir. I hope you know what you're doing, Ben.
Sal, this is Ben. You better come up to room 480, Sal. They want to see you personally. I said they want to see you personally. Well, you want your dough or don't you? I'm not going to wrestle them for it. Okay. He'll be right up.
Then what?
What do you mean, then what?
Ben.
Yeah?
If you got any little plans, you know I'm all for them, don't you?
Sure.
And you know I hope they come off, don't you?
Sure.
But if they don't come off, you know where I stand on that, too, don't you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. You stand right behind me with a gun in my back.
Just so you know, Ben.
Yeah, I can see how you would have made a preacher, Lefty. You got a terrible streak of honesty in you.
Just so you know, Ben.
Now listen, there he is.
I'm Saul Casper. What's going on here?
It's been a little trouble, Mr. Casper.
What kind of trouble?
Arch here, he just died.
Died?
He was shot.
All right, so we'll get him out of here tonight. You got the dough?
Sure, we got it.
That's it.
Here.
All right, put up your hands, all of you.
What is this?
Department of Justice. You're all under arrest.
Well, that's all, pal.
Ben, where are you going?
I got a date with a missionary.
Ben?
baby. Where's my good evening kiss?
Oh, Ben, please. I want to talk to you.
What about?
Don't you know?
Yeah, I guess maybe I do.
Oh, we can't go on like this, Ben. It isn't right. It isn't fair to Jansen. It isn't fair to... Well, it isn't fair to me.
What's so unfair about it?
You know what's unfair about it. Mr. Jansen promised the people of Lake City that if he got elected, he'd clean up the town.
All right, why doesn't he do it? He's had 6 months.
Because he doesn't even know what's going on.
Great. Then what's the beef?
Well, I know what's going on. The horse racing places and the gambling places and all the other places are just as open as they ever were. And I know who's keeping them open.
Of course you do. I am. Listen, honey, if I wasn't bossing the organization, someone else would be. People like to bet. People like to gamble.
Ben, don't you see? I'm a city official. I have an obligation to the people of this community. To the people who elected Jansen because they believed in...
Still a missionary, huh?
Well, I'm not a racketeer.
Maybe not. But you're the next thing to it.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, where do you think the dough came from for that car I got you and the fur coat and this place?
You never told me.
Did I have to? You knew I didn't get it from a long-lost uncle. Why don't you admit it, baby? You're a chiseler.
Am I?
Sure, just like me. Only I'm honest about it. You are not.
Then I will be. Starting now, starting tonight.
What are you going to do, turn me in?
Oh, Ben.
Maybe your big mistake was falling in love with me, baby. Now there isn't much you can do about it, is there?
Oh, Ben, quit it, please. Get out of it. For my sake, just because I don't like it. Because I hate it.
Maybe I don't like it either. It's all I know how to do.
What was...
Hiya, Benny.
Sal.
Surprised?
Kind of. Did you break out?
Yeah, just to see you, Benny. Put up your hands.
You know I never carry a rod.
Maybe you sort of wish you did now, huh? Not that you'd have a chance to use it.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to kill your boyfriend, sweetheart. When I've done that, I'll think of something real nice to do to you.
Oh.
You sit right there where you are, sweetheart. Benny, you start backing up to that door. Slow. That's a bathroom, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I'll kill you in the bathtub, Benny. That way it'll be quiet. There won't be so much of a mess. Now, reach behind you real careful and open the door. And when I tell you to start backing in, you back in. All right, start backing. Up! I don't leave me down.
June!
Is he...
Yeah. Since when have you been carrying a gun?
Just lately. Ben, are you all right?
Yeah, I just want to sit down.
Oh, Ben.
We got to get out of here,
Ben. Ben, listen to me. We'll go away. We'll get out of the country. We'll go to Canada.
Sure.
We can get married there. You do want to marry me, don't you, Ben?
No, you know I do, baby.
You can join the army up there. I'll do something, too. We'll do something decent with our lives. Oh, darling, I know it's been partly my fault. I know I've been weak, but... It isn't too late to begin again, is it, though?
Maybe not. But your aim on that second shot wasn't too good, baby.
Ben.
So there's just one thing that's stopping us.
Ben, what?
The bullet hole in my belly.
Big shot. You've been in the land and not, haven't you?
Where am I?
The city hospital.
Yeah? What are you doing here?
Reading the funny papers, can't you tell?
Why can't you read them at home?
Because there's been a little thing that we policemen call murder, Big Shot. You're what we call a material witness.
Where's June? June Lyons.
She's in a nice, cozy cell. When she comes to trial, your statement will probably send her up for 5 or 10 years to another nice, cozy cell.
What statement?
You talk.
Yeah?
You know what you got, Big Shot?
Sure. I got ventilated with a lead slug.
Yeah, but that's not all. You've got peritonitis.
Oh, I have. So what?
So, I've seen guys with peritonitis before. You know what happens? First, they start getting a fever. Then they get kind of lightheaded. Then they get thirsty, terribly thirsty. And after a while, you get so you can make them talk without they hardly know that they're talking. Yeah, you talk all right.
You think so?
I know so.
Where's Lefty Gubbs?
You mean your faithful servant? He's right outside.
Well, can I talk to him alone?
Sure, why not? Hey, Putty Nose, your boss wants to see you.
Thanks, you funny, funny fella.
How you been? How you feeling? Not too good. I got some plans to talk over with you, Lefty.
Okay.
Oh, Flatfoot.
Yeah, what do we have now, Big Shot?
You say the DA wants me to talk, huh?
Maybe he was just pretending.
Well, suppose I had some conditions.
Like what?
Well, like I only talk in the apartment where it happened, June Lyons' apartment. June Lyons has got to be there. And Lefty here, too, to back up some things I might say.
That might be arranged.
You think the DA might forget a couple of those little things he's been holding against me if I talk?
That'd be the general idea.
Okay. You can close the door as you go out and tell the DA to be around in about an hour. I'll talk.
Saying is that I won't be responsible. Dragging a man in his condition way out here in an ambulance, lugging him up three flights of stairs on a stretcher.
Doc, that's the way he wanted it, and that's the way it's going to be. All right, everybody here. Miss Lyons?
Yes.
Lefty Gauss?
Yes.
How is he, Doctor?
I've already told you. But he can talk.
Stop worrying about me, Mr. D.A. You're breaking my heart.
Are you ready to start, Ben?
Can I have a glass of water?
Yes, of course.
Thanks. All right, I'm ready.
Do you, Ben, take this woman, June, to be thy lawful wedded wife, to love and to cherish, for better, for worse, to death do you part?
What's going on here?
Quiet.
I do.
Do you, June, take this man, Ben, to be thy lawful wedded husband, to love and to cherish, for better, for worse, to death do you part?
I do.
I pronounce...
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm a licensed preacher, and this is Miss June Lyons' apartment, and it's outside the city's jurisdiction. It's in the county. And this marriage license was taken out at the county courthouse 1 minute before they closed today. And when I sign it, brother, it's legal. I pronounce you man and wife.
I suppose you've heard that a man can't testify against his wife, Mr. D.A.
Yes, yes, I know.
Oh, by the way, you mind if I kiss the bride?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, Ben, darling. That was the finest.
Oh, that was nice.
Ben, your face is so hot.
Yeah. I thought maybe I was going to make it, baby, but I guess I'm not.
Oh, Ben. Doctor, quick, doctor.
So long, missionary. Mrs. Missionary.
Oh, no. Oh, Ben.
Oh, Lord, we pray thee to receive the spirit of our dearly departed, and to forgive him his trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And so closes Roma Wine's presentation of Love's Lovely Counterfeit, starring Humphrey Bogart, and written by James M. Cain. Doreen Tuttle appeared as June opposite Mr. Bogart in tonight's study in Suspense.
This is Humphrey Bogart. It's been a great pleasure and privilege to appear for the Suspense audience, and I hope they'll have me back soon. I'm certainly going to make it a point to hear next Thursday's Suspense show, which sounds like one of the most unusual of the year. Two of the most distinguished ladies of the acting profession will be your stars. There's 75 years difference between their ages. They are Miss Margaret O'Brien and Dame Mae Whitty.
Suspense is produced, edited, and directed by William Spear. Next Thursday, same time, Roma Wines will present Dame Mae Whitty and Margaret O'Brien as co-stars of Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines. R-O-M-A. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
See, there's some music right there, Lisa. There's mm-hmm. some theme music. Yeah, that was theme music right there. I'm sure there was theme music throughout the show.
I'm sure there was. So you can have a little talk with your producer.
I think we have to reprimand
Mike.
Mike.
His name's
yeah.
Mike.
I think we have to reprimand Mike a little bit. No
What's
more.
What's the we think?
You and I
you
together.
Would, that's
Let's
what
sit
I
him down. Let's
we.
Have a little chat with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not here tonight, so it's easy to talk about him.
We have
Roger's
to
here. We can't talk
no
about him.
No more breaking on sound effects. Because a lot of times I'll have chocolate in my mouth.
Right. And
I have no time to, you know, be ready to be on the air. All right. That's Suspense with Love's Lovely Counterfeit, March 8th, 1945. Humphrey Bogart starring in a terrific episode written by James M. Cain. And we have another story by James M. Cain coming your way in the 1 to 2 a.m. hour. It's the Humphrey Bogart Theater with Dead Man, written by James M. Cain, starring Humphrey Bogart. So stick around. Much more coming your way. All right. It is 1:06 in the morning here on a Sunday morning. Yeah. And it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Roger.
Well, thank you. Same to you, young
thank
man.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
appreciate
it's going to be a wonderful, happy day.
Yeah, I've got a baseball game I'm playing at 11:45, and it's going to be hot.
Just a tad.
It's going to be a hot one.
I saw your picture on Facebook, Roger. It's really nice.
Oh, the with my
dad
and our son.
Yeah,
my son.
Three
yeah.
generations.
Yeah,
that's very
terrific.
Nice.
Yeah, I was over. Saw Dad today. And spent some time with them. He's still hanging in there, 99 years old.
Oh, oh wow, man, that's
amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, very, very good.
Good genes, Roger.
Congratulate
well,
him.
Well, I wash
for
them
me.
Once in a while.
Yeah, well, not too often.
Oh, I'm sorry, those. Yeah, those.
All right, in this hour of the WGN Radio Theater, it's hour three of our salute to Humphrey Bogart. And we have a terrific audition program. Never got sold, but it's, wait till you hear it. It's fantastic. Terrific story called Dead Man. And Humphrey Bogart appears in this show from 1949. That's when it was recorded. So that's coming your way. And all of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Me.
This actor stars in the TV series Rain as an assassin who specializes in making his hits look like they've died from natural causes.
All right.
The winner will win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Home of Chicago's Best Deep Dish Pizza.
312-981-7200. That's the number to call. Here's a hint. This actor appeared in Speed.
There is a bomb on this bus.
There you go. That's it, Lisa. That's all you get.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Identify that celebrity, win a pizza. We'll be right back.
And you found us. This is the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
There is a bomb on this bus.
Hey, Philip. We got Philip from Oak Park. How are you?
How
are
you doing?
Great, great. Did you know that voice?
Yes, that would be Keanu Reeves.
You are right, Philip. You are a winner. You've won a great pizza, $25 gift certificate from Lou Malnati's, my favorite pizza. I had Lou Malnati's for dinner tonight. I had a spinach pizza. You like spinach?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good one. It was delicious. I hope you'll check them out. You can visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations and look up their menu online at loumalnati's.com. Thank you so much, Philip, for calling in, and we appreciate your listening.
Thank you very much. I love old-time radio.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Philip. Appreciate it. That's what we do here. Yeah, you're very welcome. That's what we do here. We play old-time radio shows.
And I wanted to mention really quickly, I know we just heard a promo for Bill and Wendy. They're going to be talking about Bat Zoo, that new dinner theater show. And we will be giving away tickets to see Bat Zoo this evening on WGN Radio Theater.
Oh, when
we have
come
three
back?
Pairs of tickets
Are we
tonight.
Coming back here at 11?
We will
11?
Be here at 11.
Well, we'll be here at 10, but then we go on
with
at 11.
Three pairs of Bat Zoo tickets, so stay tuned.
Really? So what is that, Bat Zoo?
Well, I'll tell you about it tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
It sounds exciting.
Well, then you want to listen
not
to
tomorrow,
this audition
tonight.
Record I've been talking about?
I would love to.
All right. So here's the scoop that I know about because there's not a lot of information about this. You know, Bogey had a radio production company called Santana Productions. He used to produce the Bold Venture radio series with his wife, Lauren Bacall. And this was prior to that. I think he was like, oh, let's get into the radio business. Let's create the show. And he said, you know what? I'm a big name. I'll go with the Humphrey Bogart Theater. That'll sell, right? Ford or somebody will pick
you
that up. Colgate
so,
or
right?
Somebody Lux or somebody will pick that up, right?
Hello.
Yeah. So they cut an audition record, which we're going to hear. And it was written by James M. Cain, which was one of Bogey's favorite authors. This is a terrific, terrific drama about a young runaway who commits murder, then catches a bad case of conscience. You'll like this episode a lot. It's really, really good. Humphrey Bogart stars. He's kind of the narrator of it and is like sort of the voice that he's hearing. And he's sort of the conscience. You hear Bogey throughout the show. So they cut this audition record, sent it out all over the place.
Nothing.
Nobody. Nobody wanted it.
Let's listen.
I don't know why.
No,
it's really, really good.
Okay.
So we're going to tune this in right now. Here's part one now of Dead Man starring Humphrey Bogart on the Humphrey Bogart Theater.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Humphrey Bogart. Tonight's author, James M. Cain. Tonight's story, Dead Man.
From Hollywood, a new dynamic series based on the work of the great names of the modern short story. Presented by the actor-producer, Humphrey Bogart.
Actor-producer. Well, that's a moniker I'll have to get used to. You know, when an actor turns producer, searching for material becomes one of his main jobs. And one of mine is to read stories of all kinds. Adventure, romance, mystery, comedy. Always looking for strong yarns. Well told, that will achieve the big result, entertainment. And this is the type we're going to dramatize for you. Speaking as Bogart the actor, I'd like to appear in some of them. This is especially true of the one we're going to bring you tonight by James Cain. Jim's a great student of human nature. That's evident in his novels like The Postman Always Rings Twice, Serenade, Double Indemnity, and The Moth. He doesn't write short fiction often, but in this piece, which appeared in the old American Mercury, you'll find the offbeat qualities that have made him famous. He got the idea for Dead Man one night waiting for a freight train to pass. There were some hobos perched on top of it, and, well, that's our story. But before we start, how about a word from High Averback?
In this spot each week, we would have an opening commercial, followed by a short billboard. Now, for the first time on the air, James M. Cain's great short story, Dead Man, with Humphrey Bogart as Larry Knott and William Tracy as Lucky.
Hey, what are we slowing down for?
Why does a freight train always slow down 10 miles from nowhere in the middle of the night? Railroad bull coming down the line at Budasov.
So let's get off. We're going slow enough to jump.
Yeah, but too fast to get back on. Yeah, he's flashing his light now.
All right, boys, pile off. Hit the cinders.
Let's go.
Okay. Hey, what happened to that kid that was on here? I didn't see him jump.
He climbed down in the coal chute.
Hey, kid, the bull's coming.
You can't hide from this guy.
I won't see you in the chute.
Okay, okay.
I'm giving you guys a break. Are you going to jump?
Come on, Mick.
Right. Fall easy and roll when you hit.
Try to be a nice guy and they walk all over you.
Anybody down that coal chute?
All right, wise guy, climb out of that chute.
Turn off that flashlight.
I'll turn it off, you little punk. Come out.
Let go of me, you big ape.
Hide out on me, will you? I try to give you a break and you hide out.
Oh, my God. Look out. Look out. The bottom of the chute is open. We'll...
Oh, we'll fall.
You'll go with me.
All right, kids. Where are you? You're not getting away from me.
Let me go. Why don't you let me go?
You had your chance. Larry Knott ain't losing his job for a punk like you. You'll do a bit in the creek for this.
You gotta kick me there first. Now, big guy, this might even things up.
Kid, put down that spike.
I'll put it down.
Always picking on people. I wasn't going to steal your lousy railroad. Now, maybe you'll let me go. Mister. Hey, mister.
Mister! Wake up! Wake up! He's dead! He's dead!
God,
have to get back to Los Angeles before morning. See how far on this roadside. 17 miles.
You better keep running, kid. You got a long way to go.
Where are you? Who is it?
It's me, kid. You know where I am. You left me there.
Look, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it.
No, but you did it. Now you gotta run. You gotta run for the rest of your life.
Just L.A., that's all. I'll be safe there, you understand? I'll be safe.
You can't beat this, kid.
I can. I ate two meals yesterday in the soup kitchen. If I get back in time for breakfast, they'll remember me. Nobody will ever know I left the town. Nobody.
Nobody. You'll know it, kid. And I'll know it. We'll always know it. You better run, kid.
You can't hurt me. You're a dead man. You're dead. You're dead.
Is there any bread to put in this slop?
Oh, be glad you're living. Move on.
I don't know why they're always kicking. That smells good to me.
Oh, it's you. You must love this grub.
Thought you'd be off duty today.
Me? Why would I be off?
You mean you don't even get Sundays off in this joint?
Sunday, wake up. This is Saturday.
Saturday? Hey, that's right. It is Saturday. They're hanging signs and big banners all along the main drag for the parade.
What kind of parade?
The Shriners.
Well, you get to see that for free. That ought to be your speed.
Yeah, that's me. My name is Lucky.
My name is Shorty, but I'm over 6 feet.
Nothing like that with me. I really got luck.
Yeah? Like what?
Like, for instance, getting a hunk of meat in a soup.
Ain't no meat in there.
But there's gonna be some, ain't there?
Shiver plate over quick. Don't let nobody see you.
Oh, thanks, Shorty.
Okay, Lucky. Don't let them guys see the meat. Back of the hall ain't lighted. Grab a table back there.
Sure, sure.
Ain't you hungry, kid? Why don't you eat?
I'll eat.
You'd better. You'll need strength. Gotta have strength to keep moving.
I made it here. I'm all right.
Sure. You made Shorty remember you. The day will stick in his mind because of the parade. That's smart, but it isn't enough.
Why ain't it enough?
You didn't kill another hobo, kid. You killed a cop. Only a railroad bull, but still a cop. They never close the books when a cop gets killed, Lucky. They work all day and all night. They ask questions.
I got answers.
You better have them. And you better have them fast. You'll have to think on your feet, kid. And you're tired.
I gotta get some sleep.
Where, though? Where?
Sign pointing up the street said Lincoln Park. It's only 6 a.m. I can sleep there.
And get picked up for vagrancy? That's bad. They'll bring you in for that and then start on something else.
I can hide. Must be a stable or something in a park. I gotta sleep.
Take it easy, kid. You're watching. You're walking too fast.
I go. Let me sleep. Go away. Let me sleep.
Time to get up, son. There's a man here to see you.
Mom, I didn't do anything honest. It was a mistake.
You shouldn't have left home, son. I begged you not to go. Now the man is here.
Tell him to go away. Tell him I'm sleeping.
I'm sleeping too, Lucky.
Go away. Leave me alone.
No. I want you to get ready for what's coming. Where did you spend last night, kid?
In a flop house.
Yeah, which one?
I didn't pay no attention to the name. It was just a flop house.
Where was this flop house at, Lucky?
How should I remember? I never been in L.A. before. I don't know the names of those streets.
What did the place look like?
Looked like a flop house.
You think they'll buy that? What did the place look like, Lucky? What did it look like?
Let me go! Let me go! Let me go! Let me go! Let me go!
What's going on here?
Help!
Make
him let me go!
Be quiet, he won't hurt you. All right, Goliath, put him down. Down!
Thanks. Thanks.
How'd you get in here?
The side door was open. I thought this was the park stable.
It's the elephant house at the zoo. What are you doing here?
I...
I just wanted to sleep, that's all.
You're lucky you weren't stepped on in that hay. One of them might have rolled right over on you during the night.
During the night? Yeah. Yeah, I was here all night. They might have killed me.
I got a good mind to call the cops and turn you in.
No, please don't do that. I'm broke. I couldn't go anyplace else. Give me a break. If I find a job, I'll be okay.
All right. Now get out of here and stay out.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I'll get a job. I'll be all right.
Gonna get a job, eh? Why didn't you do that yesterday instead of hopping that freight?
They won't know about the freight if I get a job. If a guy killed somebody, the cops wouldn't expect to find him looking for a job.
2 hours sleep in there. That wasn't much.
It was enough. I'm young, I'm strong.
You're running again, kid. You're running again.
Just a minute, lady. Let me check the air in this rear tire. It looks low. Ah, she's all right now. Thanks. Hurry back.
Hello?
Hello. What can I do for you?
Oh, what's chances I'd get my job around here?
If you mean right here in this service station, the chances are nothing flat.
Why not? The sign says you're open 24 hours a day.
I work 12. My brother-in-law works the other 12. We don't need any help.
I ain't asking much, and you could both cut down on your hours.
Look, brother, I know it's tough, but I got troubles of my own. I'm barely making a living myself. Here's 2 bits for something to eat. That's all the help I can give you.
I ain't asking for a handout. I want a job. If my clothes were better, would that change your mind?
Even if the morning paper said you'd been elected one of the 10 best-dressed men in Hollywood, the answer would still be no. I haven't got enough to do myself.
Well, suppose I get better clothes. Would you talk to me again?
I'm a registered Democrat. I'll talk to anybody. But I'm not hiring.
I'll be back when I get better clothes. What's your name?
They're right over the station. Hook. Oscar Hook.
Thanks, Mr. Hook. Just got an idea. I can talk myself into a job.
Well, don't waste your time. Here, take the 2 bits.
All right, thanks. I'll work it out for you when I come back.
Stop trying to shove me out of my own business. Good luck, kid.
Thanks.
I wondered when you were going to think about that, Lucky.
Think about what?
The clothes.
So they're dirty, so what?
Not all clothes get dirty that way. Where'd that coal dust come from?
From the freight. What does that prove?
Well, don't you know there isn't much coal brought into Southern California? That car may be the only one in 6 months. And I was killed on it, Lucky. Better think of something else, kid. You better think of something else.
I'll get rid of these clothes. I'll get others.
That won't be easy. Lots of people have seen you in those clothes. I told you how cops work. Coal dust on your clothes, and there was coal dust on mine. I got it all over me, too. And you got no money to buy new duds.
I'll get him. I'll go down to the cheap store. Somebody will trust me.
Maybe. But the cops will be looking for somebody with coal dust on his clothes. They'll check the stores. You'll be easy to remember, Lucky. You'll be very easy to remember.
Oh, pick a small store. They can't check them all. They can't check them all.
In a moment, Act Two of Dead Man.
All right, there you have it. In a moment, we'll get back to Dead Man. That's an audition record with Humphrey Bogart called the Humphrey Bogart Theater. Well, we will get back to it in a little bit. This was recorded either August 17th or September 17th, 1949. There's a little, you know, a little discrepancy as to what the actual recording date is. Good cast in this. William Tracy, along with Gerald Moore and Humphrey Bogart, put this all together. And I believe this was through Bogey's Santana Productions. I want to remind all of our listeners that we're here Saturday and Sunday nights from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. When I say we, I mean Lisa Wolf and I, and Mike Estella, Shane Reardon, Elif Garris. That's the team.
Well, you usually come, you're here at 10, but the rest of us are here at 11.
Yeah. I get here an hour early. I try to get here an hour early because, you know, you never know traffic and all that kind of stuff.
No, we all do.
And could you imagine if I didn't show up at 11 o'clock, Lisa would go on and that would be it.
Shane and I really weren't worried.
No, I'm here at 3 p.m. just prepping for you to not show up so I can step in there and be the host. So
I get here at 2 p.m. prepping, okay. So that I'm more prepped.
Right,
than
we're just always ready.
You're very preppy.
We're preppy and prepped.
don't forget that we have a website for this show. It's WGNRadioTheater.com. And at that website, you can see our entire schedule. We also have a Facebook page. As Mike would say, just hop on Facebook and search WGN Radio Theater. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, we miss Mike. He's not here tonight, but he'll be here next show, Sunday edition.
Do you think you have the deep dimples because you smile so much? Lisa smiles all the time.
Well, to be clear, my dad has them, too.
Really?
Yeah, we posted
Mr.
a picture
Matenky?
On the Father's Day, the WGN Salutes Father's Day. I know Roger's got a picture up there.
Yeah.
And I have a picture. I showed it to you. I'm sitting
That's
on my dad's shoulders.
Yeah, that is
He's
a great picture.
He's got the same little dimples.
He's got, but they're not
it's
little.
Genetic.
Those are like crevices. Those are like moon craters.
What do you think? Are they
Those
attractive?
Are big. Yeah.
I hide
you
things
need a little
in there.
Spackle.
I hide things
spackle
in there.
Spackle fixes that.
Either that or plastic surgery, one or the other.
No, I think it's because you
collagen.
Smile. You're always smiling.
Yeah.
Lisa likes being on the radio so much that her smile just makes her dimples even.
You know what? And this radio thing runs in my family. I kid you not. Yesterday, my daughter was listening to the radio, and there was some contest, and she called in,
calling.
And she won.
Wow, she won?
Did, and it wasn't WGN. She won tickets to see Kanye.
You allow other radios...
Well, I wasn't with her. If
radios
I were with
to be
her,
on other stations,
then she would be listening to WGN.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Lisa.
I know. Blasphemy.
That's not good. All right, let's get back to this. Humphrey Bogart Theater with Dead Man from 1949.
Now we return to Act Two of James M. Cain's Dead Man, with Humphrey Bogart as Larry Knott and William Tracy as Lucky.
Yes, senor. What can I do for you?
Mister, will you trust me for a pair of white pants and a shirt?
No, no trust. You want credit, you go to a bank.
You go out and work. You get money to buy things.
Look, lady, I want to work. And I can get a job if I have that outfit. I can start to work Monday morning. All I need is white pants and a shirt.
I have to pay cash myself. No trust.
Don't you understand? This means a job for me. I got to get that outfit. I'll pay you next Saturday as soon as I get paid, honest.
Look. I would like to help you, but I can't do it.
Okay, it's your store. I've been out of work a long time.
What kind of job you gonna get? Why you need white shirt and pants?
Maybe he's gonna drive an ice cream truck.
No, it's a gas station. They got a rule. You gotta have white clothes before you can work there.
They all wear white clothes.
White clothes put the grease in the trucks. One day you're going to look worse than you do now.
Look, what else would I want an outfit like that for? Holy smokes, my own things are better for the road, ain't they? I don't look like I own a yacht, do I?
Tell me, where's this gas station you're going to work?
Hollywood. A guy named Oscar Hook owns the place. It's an Acme station. You don't believe me? Call him up and ask him.
Hollywood's the other side of town. How'd you get over here?
I walked.
All the way over from there to get stuff with a job? That's a long walk. Why'd you pick my store?
I asked half a dozen places. Somebody's got to have a heart.
When a young man doesn't go to school or to work, he's getting into trouble. What size you wear?
15 shirt, 28 waist on the pants.
All right. Go into the back room, take off your clothes, and bring the stuff.
Thanks.
He'll need shoes, too. His are worn out. Here.
See. Maybe he's hungry, too.
Put a dollar in the pants.
Well, why not $50? Make him a full partner in the store.
Go.
Here's your things. You want to wrap up the old ones?
No, throw them away.
You got pretty dirty. You're covered with black?
Yeah, I did some work yesterday. I cleaned out a big fireplace in the restaurant for something to eat.
You all ready now?
Yeah, these are swell.
I fix up a bill for you. Here you are. $9.84.
Yes, and $1 service charge.
Service charge? What kind of... All right, okay.
Never mind the service charge.
Sure. Forget the service charge.
There's a tag or something in this pocket here. It's a dollar.
That's all right. You find it, you keep it. It's your lucky day, huh?
Yeah, my lucky day, huh?
Yeah, mamacita. You burn the old clothes with the papers, huh?
Sure. Goodbye, boy. We pray for you.
Goodbye, and thanks. Thanks a lot.
Adios.
I'm all right now. I'm clear.
Yeah, but what about the old clothes?
I left them. I'm rid of them.
Sure, but somebody else has them now. That's the evidence kid. He noticed the dirt.
They're going to burn them.
That's what they said. You won't see them do it, though. How are you going to know?
I'll go back. I'll go back and get them.
No, you can't. That'd look funny. You said you didn't want them.
I changed my mind. I'll burn them myself.
Where? You got a private apartment? Someplace where you can turn a key? Look kind of funny building a fire in an empty lot to burn clothes. Besides, they might think he was faking about the job.
They'll burn him, they said so.
Sure, they'll burn him. Walk a little faster, kid. Walk a little faster, kid.
Well, you're persistent, kid, I'll say that for you.
I went through a lot of trouble to get these clothes. There must be some way you can use them.
Kid, look. Look at the dough in this cash box. $11, and that's for two families to feed. The night shift won't bring that. It won't slice any thinner.
Well, I guess you're right.
Say, why don't you hit north? This town's dead right now. You could earn a living picking fruit up there.
Yeah, it'd be great in the road in this white outfit.
I can get you a ride in a line haul truck. Guy I know drives that route tonight. He'll leave about 7 o'clock. They like company to keep him awake. But that means you have to stay awake, too. You look tired.
Maybe you got a place I could lay down until then.
Not here. You got any dough?
$1.
There's a cheap hotel a few blocks up. Sack in there and sleep till just before 7.
Okay, I'll see you later.
No job after all, huh, Lucky? Now you got to run for it. Get out of town.
They can't tag me. I got a head start now.
I don't see how you figure that. There's cops up north, too. Already there, waiting. Guys on the road get picked up all the time.
I look all right. They'll pass
me. Sure. You traded black clothes for white ones. The cops will know about that when you don't show up to give the storekeeper his dough.
If I stay here, they'll pick me up easier. I gotta go. I gotta take the chance.
Sure. That's the only chance you got. Run. Get some sleep, then run.
What do you have, bud?
I want a room. You can call me at 6:30 tonight.
That's $1. Sign this card. What's the matter, bud? You forget your name?
No, I just haven't written in a long time. I haven't even heard anybody say it, except for my nickname.
You can't take nicknames. Sometimes the cops come by, they want to see the list.
Cops? What for?
Who knows? They gotta look like they're doing some kind of work, don't they? What's the matter? Cops worry you?
No, no. Why should they?
Well, it's something you know better than me. Here's your change from $1 in your key.
Okay. That's my name. Ben Fuller. Where's the room?
Straight down the hall. Room 13. Ain't superstitious, eh?
No.
Saturday evening, son. I'm going down to the church to help decorate for tomorrow. You want to come?
No!
You used to go always.
I'm not going anymore. I'm sick of this place. I'm sick and tired.
You shouldn't feel like that. You have a nice home and a nice job.
Yeah, I'm working in the hardware store in a hick town. I want to go places and see things. I want to be somebody.
You are somebody, Ben. You've got friendship and respect. You won't always work for somebody else. You'll build something of your own someday.
You bet I will. But it won't be here. Someday I'll go away. Someday I'll live in a big city where things happen. And I'll have everything I want.
I want you to have everything, son. I want to help. Won't you come with me?
No, I told you, no!
All right, son. All right.
No, wait, Mom. Wait, I'll come with you.
Too late, Lucky. You can't go now.
I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't.
You never wanted to hurt anybody, but you did. Even your mother.
That's a lie!
Is it, Lucky? Maybe it is. Maybe she deserved it, expecting a smart kid like you to run away in a dead little town.
It wasn't dead. It was a good town. We had a basketball team and a band that played in a park in the summer and a lake where we could swim.
Yeah, but that was for kids, not for a man. Your father wasted his life there, too, didn't he?
No, he didn't. He was the best barber in town. Everybody loved him. Everybody.
That wasn't good enough for you, though. What did you want, Lucky?
I don't know. What's that noise?
It's pretty plain. Listen to it.
What are they doing? What are they building?
A gallows, Lucky. That's where they're going to hang you.
You're not going to see it. I'll kill you, not I'll kill you.
You already did. You can't do it again. You can't get rid of me.
I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. Oh, just a minute.
I'd hate to have you for a customer at night, bud. What are you doing, throwing a fit?
I was dreaming, that's all.
Dreams like that you can have. Come out at 6:30, ain't you gonna catch a truck or something?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. I'll check out right away. I'm getting a ride north.
Book says you're going north to pick fruit. Is that right?
Only till I get enough dough to buy a new suit and a train ticket home. I want to go right back.
Sure. Can't go back on the bum.
I never should have left.
Yeah, most guys I carry feel that way. But they never know till they try. Some of them start back too late.
What do you mean?
Health is gone or they're getting a one-way jam. Hey, I got to make a stop here for a few minutes. You mind?
We ain't even out of town.
I know, but I got to stop here.
What are you stopping here for in the police station? What's the idea?
Cops after you for something?
No, of course not.
What are you so jumpy for?
Well, they pick you up for vagrancy, hitchhiking or something.
Yeah, relax. They don't bother anybody. They're glad to see you go.
Well, it just seemed a funny place to stop, that's all.
Well, the police station ain't the only place on the block. I'm just going in that cafe across the street for a cup of java. This is a long haul, and I'm broke, and I got a tab in there. I'd buy you a cup of coffee, only, well, it's... When it's on credit, it's kind of rubbing it in to bring a guest.
I'll wait. Go ahead.
Hey, there's a mission house just the other side of the police station. You can get coffee in there for nothing.
No, I'll wait.
I don't blame you. They play music in the place and it's murder. Oh, there's an evening paper on the shelf behind the seat if you want to look at it while I'm gone. You can turn on the cab light.
Paper? Yeah, that's good. Thanks. I'm just looking at the paper, that's all.
I'm not a very important guy. Maybe it wouldn't be on the front page. Ah, there it is, Lucky. Page 3. L.R. Knott, railroad man, killed. Read it, kid.
The decapitated body of L.R. Knott, railroad detective assigned to a northbound freight, was found early this morning on a track about 15 miles north of Los Angeles. It is believed he lost his balance while passing another train and fell beneath the wheels. He don't know. He don't know.
No, kid. Only you and I know.
You can't know. You can't know anything. You're a dead man. You got no head in your body. You can't talk. You're my imagination, that's all.
You mean conscience, don't you?
Get away. You can't come back now. You're dead. You don't know anything. I'm free. I'm free. You don't know anything.
You're right, Lucky. I don't know. You've beaten the law, Lucky. They can't catch you. Nobody knows now. Nobody but you. You win, don't you, kid? I'm a dead man. You win, don't you, kid? I'm a dead man. You win, don't you, kid? I'm a dead man.
Well, we can hit the road now. We are
Hey, what's the matter? You sick or something?
No. No, I'm all right.
Well, if you are, you can climb up on the shelf and lay down.
I changed my mind. I'm not going with you. Thanks, anyhow.
Suit yourself, kid.
So long, mister. So long, mister.
Precinct House, Sergeant Jameson. Yeah, okay, Joe, make out a report on it. Now, what can I do for you, boy?
I want to give myself up.
What'd you do, kid? Steal something? Or are you trying to get a free ride home?
No. I killed a man.
When did it happen?
Last night.
Where?
On the railroad tracks going north. It was like this.
Wait a minute, kid. Wait till I get a card. Okay, what's your name?
Fuller. Ben Fuller.
No middle name?
They call me Lucky.
Lucky, huh? Like in good luck?
Yes. Lucky. Like in good luck.
Humphrey Bogart will be back with you in just a moment. But first, here you would have a closing commercial. After which, here again is Humphrey Bogart.
Next week, a story by the big fellow himself, Ernest Hemingway. And in weeks to come, other great yarns by John P. Marquand, Stephen Vincent Benet, John O'Hara, Louis Bromfield, Christopher Morley, James Thurber, James Gould Cousins, Ben Hecht, Irvin Cobb, Thomas Wolfe, and other great names published in the Charles Grayson anthology, Stories for Men. Tonight's story was adapted for radio by Joel Murcott. Music composed and conducted by Lynn Murray. D. Engelbach, directed and produced for Santana Productions. Until next week when we meet again, good night.
Be with us again next week at the same time when Humphrey Bogart will return to present another great short story. This time by one of the foremost men of contemporary fiction, Ernest Hemingway. This is High Aberback speaking.